In the violence that broke out across East Timor after the 1999 referendum, perhaps as many as 2,000 people were killed before other countries intervened. Yet the international intervention was a success, according to those involved. NPR's Vicky O'Hara reports.
As soon as East Timor renounced a quarter century of domination by Indonesia, the butchery started. East Timorese independence activist and Nobel Peace Prize winner José Ramos Horta appealed to the international community to do something.
We are facing an imminent, extraordinary human catastrophe right under the eyes of the United Nations Security Council, and they are not acting promptly to stop the killings.
Jamshid Marker was the UN special envoy for East Timor. He says the UN actually reacted very quickly.
You can't go into a department store and take a peacekeeping force out of a shelf in the store. You need a Security Council resolution. You need the consent of the country concerned.
Marker says it took only about 2 weeks from the start of the massacre to get peacekeepers to East Timor. As the UN grappled with the issue, a new U.S. ambassador to the UN, Richard Holbrooke, joined the proceedings.
I came into the UN just as they were starting the discussion, saw that they were moving too slowly, and announced that the United States would keep the Security Council session going all night long, and we wanted 24-hour continuous meetings until the issue was resolved satisfactorily. That greatly accelerated the process and resulted in an agreement within 12 hours.
The key to that agreement was Australia. Putting together a UN force would have taken weeks, even months. Australia, with its well-equipped military, offered to deploy a peacekeeping force immediately, under one condition. Again, Ambassador Holbrooke.
They were willing to absorb most of the costs and provide the core of the military leadership, but they did not want to do it without an international mandate from the Security Council.
The United Nations has been criticized for not taking action before the East Timor independence vote to prevent bloodshed. Jamshid Marker says the UN was aware that the Indonesian military was arming the militia and tried to put peacekeepers on the ground before the referendum.
The Indonesians made it very clear that they were not going to permit a military presence because that implied getting foreign troops into their what they regarded as Indonesian territory.
Marker says the UN feared that if it insisted on the peacekeepers, Indonesia would not allow the referendum on East Timor's future. That vote, the product of complicated negotiations, was seen as a chance to end 25 years of conflict between East Timorese separatists and Indonesian forces. Eric Schwartz was President Clinton's special advisor on multilateral and humanitarian affairs. He says the international community was not prepared to have peacekeepers fight their way into East Timor.
The political will to impose such a solution on Indonesia, which would have required a deployment of probably tens of thousands of troops, not simply 8,000 or 9,000 as the Australians deployed, the political will to do that wasn't there. That just wasn't on, for better or worse. And that's an unsettling conclusion for anyone who cares about the many hundreds of people who died, but that was the situation.
Thomas Pickering was Assistant Secretary of State for Policy Planning at the time. He says Indonesia's opposition to peacekeepers wasn't the only thing holding back the international community.
I think the other factors were that it was a remote part of the globe, that there was, in a sense, peacekeeping fatigue on the part of a number of countries, including the United States. There was a sense of reluctance in the international community to commit to areas where there would have to be funding.
It's hard to say what would have happened if Australia had not stepped forward. Those who were involved say it was unlikely that the U.S. would have filled the void. Thomas Pickering and Eric Schwartz also say the crisis should have been averted by more aggressive diplomacy. Pickering thinks Indonesia's president, who after all had endorsed the concept of a referendum, probably could have been pushed to accept international troops to protect the process.
We have not, and probably will find it hard in continuing activities in the future, to learn the lesson that preemption rather than reaction is much better.
Richard Holbrooke says the delay was tragic, but he calls the intervention one of the United Nations' great successes. The Australian-led force has been replaced by a UN force, as planned. Order has been established. And tomorrow, with peacekeepers standing by, East Timor holds an election. That will allow the UN to transfer administration of the island to the people who live there. Vicky O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.